right.
Let's turn to the book of Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. As we stand, we'll be reading from verse 1 to 10. For those who came on Friday, we talked about Luke chapter 23, about the crucifixion. We wish you were here because God touched us in a special way, I believe, with the word. But in Luke chapter 24, verse 1 to 10, we'll be reading it through, okay? Luke chapter 24, verse 1 to 10. Ready? Let's read together. Ready? 1, 2, begin. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in, and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments, and as they were afraid, and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11, and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, and Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told them things unto the apostles. Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the resurrection that Jesus Christ came back after he died to show us that he is the Son of God. I pray if there's one person here who is not sure of why Jesus died and rose again, I pray today, Lord, through your word, the Holy Spirit will make it clear to that person. Lord, for believers, I pray that your word will once again be our anchor, our confidence. Your word will be our trust and our hope. I'll thank you for what you're going to do. Fill me with thy spirit, Lord. Your compassion, help me to hide behind your cross. Because it is the cross, Lord, that we want to proclaim this morning. And I pray if there's a heart that is burdened, a heart that needs encouragement, a believer's heart. And I pray that you speak to that person, Lord, in a special way through your word. And I pray also for the children, I pray you help them to understand. Lord, help me to make it as simple. Salvation, Father, is for the little child who is converted. And we'll thank you for what you're going to do. Speak to us, pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. The Lord Jesus Christ has been crucified. Okay? And this is the third day. This is the third day, the crucifixion. Okay? Our children, there are some pictures to help you along. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ has been crucified, and this is the third day, Luke chapter 24, as we were reading. There were some ladies who came, and they prepared some spices. These spices is not to cook curry. These spices is for embalming the body. Okay? It was too hurried on the day that Jesus was crucified. Okay? If you think about that, if Jesus was crucified on Friday, then he rose again on Sunday, that is not 3 days and three nights. Contrary to popular opinion and worldly tradition, Jesus wasn't crucified on Friday. The Jewish time when Jesus died was 3 p.m. Wednesday. Because by 3 p.m., 6 o'clock, they have to actually hurriedly prepare for the Sabbath because that week there were two Sabbaths. Okay? The normal Sabbath and the Sabbath of the Passover. So the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, I believe, based on the Bible, historical evidence, that Jesus was crucified on Wednesday. Okay? Wednesday, 3 p.m. And then Jewish 3 p.m. to Jewish time 6 p.m., which is the Jewish day starts at 6 p.m., so 6 p.m. to Thursday, 6 p.m., one day, Thursday, 6 p.m., to Friday, 6 p.m., one day, and Friday, 6 p.m., to Saturday, 6 p.m., and any time after that, the Lord Jesus rose from the dead, okay? And so, the Lord Jesus Christ was there. The ladies came with some spices so that they can embalm the body. But when they reached the tomb, they found it empty. Firstly, they went by and said, hey, the stone was rolled away. And then they went inside and they found that the tomb was empty. It was empty. And then as they were wondering what they're supposed to do, two angels came Two angels came and told them, why are you looking for the living among the dead? Go to Galilee and tell the disciples, I'm going to meet them in Galilee. Okay, and the ladies went. So this is a story that we just read. Okay, children, remember this story, Luke 24. Okay. Now, death is a real thing. Death is a real thing. None of us in this room will escape death. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 2, verse 14, listen to the scriptures. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. All of us are humans. Do you realize that all of us have an appointment? And that appointment is an appointment with death. An appointment with death. We do not dictate the time. God does. Whether we believe it or not, whether we believe there's a God or not, we will still face death, because death is one of the realities of life that we cannot escape. All of us, even me as pastor, I'm not as holy as you, I'm a sinner saved by grace, but even I have to face death. All of us will have to face death. Because we're humans, no one can escape death. You know, some people are very afraid of death. And that's why the China emperors of old want to find the elixir of long life. They want to have a medicine they can drink, right, and then live forever. Doesn't happen. All of them died. But the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 2, as you read there, no one can escape death. The Lord Jesus Christ came down from heaven. He became like us. Because the Bible says, for as much then as the children, referring to us, are partakers of flesh and blood, we are flesh and blood. Okay? We are flesh and blood. Jesus also likewise took of himself the same. I mean, he became like a little baby that you see there. And what he did was he, through death, through dying, Jesus had to die physically. That was why Friday we had that. But Jesus had to die that through death he might destroy the devil who had the power of death. That's what the Bible teaches us. That's what the Bible teaches us. For your information, the devil doesn't control death. But the Bible says there, the reason why the devil has death is because sin continues. The devil is the devil is the one that propagates sin. He wants you to sin so that you can die, so that I can die, so that we will never see Christ in heaven and never have our sins forgiven. But if you are here today and say, Brother Johnny, what's the hope that we have? I was reading, and I hope this will help us. The Bible says in the book of Hosea, chapter 13, verse 9, O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself. Israel is God's chosen people. Israel has a special place in God's heart. And when Israel has destroyed themselves, basically they've adulterated themselves with the world. They have lived in sin and think that they are serving God. But God looks at them, Israel, you have destroyed yourself. You have destroyed yourself. You know, Israel represents man. You know, when you have a little baby, when there's a little baby growing up, oh, the baby is the symbol of the purest innocence. Every little baby that grows up hasn't been exposed to the evils and the wrong and the hatred of this world. And we look at every baby, a newborn baby, as a symbol of new life, yes? A new beginning, a new opportunity. But what happened along the way? What happened along the way for many of us? We were little babies, what happened to us? There are many things that happen to people that hurts them, hurt their families, hurt their people that love them. And things happen. Oh, Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself. God is crying from heaven and say, Israel, you have destroyed yourself. You have done things that have destroyed yourself. But I'm thy help. I don't know about you, for God to say that, but in me is thine help. Since you have destroyed yourself, since you have no more hope, but in me is your help. And God goes on to say, in the first same chapter, which is what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, I will ransom thee from the power of the grave. All of us have an appointment with death. All of us will die one day. We will. I will redeem them from death. Oh, death, I will be thy plague. And God says, I'm at war with you, death. I'm at war. You know why God is at war with death? You know why God is at war with the grave? You know why God is at war with destruction? You know why God is at war with him? Because God loves you. And grave destroys. God doesn't want us to be destroyed. And the last part, repentance shall be hid from mine eyes. That simply means, I have made up my mind. I am not going to change my mind. I'm at full war against sin. I'm full war against grave. I'm full war against death. I'm at full war against destruction because it's destroying my people. And I hope you hear the heart of God in his love. I want to tell you three things. Children, this is your time, okay? God says, I will not change my mind. God was preparing the Jewish nation. Well, listen to this. God is preparing the Jewish nation and the entire mankind for the greatest miracle that will change the course of human history and change the course of your life. Oh, when God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, that was a great miracle. When God opened the Red Sea, that was a great miracle. When God, upon the request of Joshua, to say, God, can you please hold the sun for 24 hours so that we can finish this conquest? Oh, that was a great miracle when the sun held on for another 24 hours. It was a great miracle when King Hezekiah prayed and an angel of God came and killed 185,000 enemy soldiers in one night. That was a great miracle. When Jesus walked on water, that was a miracle. When Jesus raised the dead, that was a miracle. You ain't seen nothing yet. God was preparing this world to face and to know the greatest miracle that ever happened. And the miracle is the miracle of the resurrection. The resurrection is an undisputed fact that even intelligent, clever men who have tried to disprove the resurrection all became Christians. Why? Because they cannot dispute the fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. The first point, children, are you listening? This is for you. Jesus rose from the dead. Let's look at Luke chapter 24, okay? We're going back to the passage now. And I want the children to understand there is great evidence. I'll just give you two, but there are many evidences of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, okay? First one, it's the empty tomb. Let's look at Luke chapter 24. I'll be reading it. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre. The word sepulchre means basically the grave. Okay, the grave. That's what you see on the picture there. Very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, which is a grave, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away. Evidence number one. Are you listening? The stone was rolled away. Now, why was that such an important piece of evidence? You can see the magnifying glass, right, children? It's an evidence that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Why? Because when Jesus died, they put him in the tomb. When they put him in the tomb, they covered the tomb with the stone. Ah, Brother Johnny, the stone, very easy. Why? You just take away, right? Small piece of stone, just push away. No, that stone, listen carefully, was 1 to 2,000 kilograms. 1 to 2,000 kilograms, as heavy as the church van. Okay? It's as heavy as the church van. I think the church van is about 2.3 tons, so it's about 2,003. No one can move the stone. That's evidence number one. But Brother Johnny, then how was the stone moved? The Bible says in Matthew chapter 28, verse 2, note down that reference, Matthew chapter 28, verse 2, that tells you how the stone was moved out. The Bible says the angel of the Lord came and moved it. It was a miracle. The moving of the stone out of the tomb was a miracle. Okay? Evidence number two. Look at verse number three. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. I thought Jesus was buried there. So when they went in, where's the body? It's missing. So number two evidence is body missing. Okay? The Bible says they could not find the body. I want you to look closely at the picture. Do you know what's the significance of this? When the tomb was there, when Jesus was inside there, what does that tell you, Nicholas or Ezra? What does this tell you? What's happening? How come the clothes were so nicely folded? Because, obviously, someone folded it. Who is that someone? Who is that someone who can fold the clothes? When the whole tomb, there can only be one person. Guess who? Guess who? The Lord Jesus himself. The Bible says 3 days and three nights Jesus was raised from the dead. And the Lord Jesus had good waking up habits. Once he woke up, what did he do? He folded his clothing. Okay? That was another evidence that the Lord Jesus was awake. But then on Friday, didn't Jesus die? Yes, he did. The Roman soldiers, who were professional soldiers, knew Jesus died. Okay? And they were the ones who told Pilate, look, when Joseph of Arimathea came and demanded the body of Jesus, Pilate was surprised that, really, they died already? Yeah, they died already. The soldiers said so. Okay, let's take the body. And so Roman soldiers were experts at executing people, knew that Jesus died. But then, 3 days later, when the children, not children, sorry, when the ladies went to the gate, everything was nicely folded. The body was missing. There are many evidences for the resurrection, but children, for the rest of your life, I want you to remember this too. The stone was rolled away, and the body of Jesus was missing from the grave. He raised from the dead. He rose from the dead. The stone was rolled away. Listen. Now, adults, listen. The stone was rolled away not for Jesus to come out. It was rolled away for the disciples to go in. It wasn't for the Lord Jesus. He knew it all the way. The angels knew. But the stone was moved away so that the disciples and whoever who had the sincerity of heart to find the Messiah could go in. And when the ladies went in, where's our Savior? He's no longer there. He's missing. The problem of faith was not in the Lord Jesus, but in the disciples. The evidence of the resurrection was for the disciples to believe. The evidence of the resurrection is for the disciples to believe. Christians, are you listening? The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The resurrection is an essential doctrine that must be believed in order to have eternal life. You need to believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. What does that mean? That simply means whatever Jesus said, the way he lived, how he taught the people, his life, his death, and his resurrection are all must be believed so that we can have eternal life. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 1 to 3. The Bible says, I declare unto you the gospel, what? That Jesus died for your sins according to the scriptures. And that he was buried. And that he rose again according to the scriptures. The gospel must be believed in its entirety. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 1 to 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 to 4. Remember that. It talks about the resurrection of Christ. It talks about the gospel. If you ever want to know Jesus as your Savior, you need to know he died for our sin. He was buried, and then he rose again. the resurrection is essential for our salvation. Number two, you know, when the ladies were there, after the resurrection, they were perplexed. The word perplexed means they were stunned to the point they didn't know what to do. Have you ever been there before? How many of you children think you have studied for your exams already? And then when you face your examination paper, you say, die. I don't know what to do. Yeah, some of you are smiling already. You know, some of us are adults. When we face the crisis of life, we say, die. I don't know what to do. That's the meaning of perplexed. When the ladies went to the tomb, they went inside. Their expectation was to find Jesus inside there. You know why? Because they never believed that Jesus could rise from the dead. So when God gave them a miracle, it's like, I don't know what to do. They were perplexed. They were perplexed in their heart because they never believed. Evidence number two for us. And as they were afraid, they bowed down. There was someone there, two angels, said, why seek ye the living among the dead? I will apply that later. Remember this phrase. Why seek ye the living among the dead? Number two, Jesus' words is always true. I'll read the verse and then you hear what the angel said. He is not here, but he is risen. He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. Did you know that the Lord Jesus Christ prophesied his own death? Children, are you ready? These are the verses I want you to remember because it's so important for you to base your childlike faith on the Word of God. Jesus said, I am going to die, but third day I am going to rise again. I'm going to give you the verses, okay? Jesus' words is always true. That's point number two. His words is always true. Saying, this is what Jesus said, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected by the elders of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be slain, be killed, and be raised the third day. Jesus himself said, it's important to note that he was still alive. And he told his disciples, I will be killed, but I will rise again the third day. The next verse says, and he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. That's what Jesus said, okay? The third verse. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, to the Romans, and shall be mocked and spitefully entreated and spit upon. Remember those who came on Friday, I said, as he was walking along the way of suffering, Via Dolorosa, the people plucked his beard off and they spit on him. Jesus even said that would happen, and it did. For he was delivered unto the Gentiles, shall be mocked, spitefully entreated, spit on, and they shall scourge him and put him to death. And the third day, he shall rise again. Jesus made it very clear to his disciples, look, I'm going to be delivered, and they're going to kill me, but on the third day, I'm going to rise again. I want to tell you something very interesting. Did you know that Jesus also made an appointment with them before he died, that when he died and after his death, he's going to meet them somewhere? He actually made an appointment with them, all right? The next verse, this is an important one I want you to take note of, okay? And Jesus said unto them, all ye shall be offended of me, because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that, I'm risen. I will go before you into Galilee. Did you get what Jesus was saying? He was telling disciples, look, I'm going to be killed. They're going to kill me. And then after that, I'm going to die. And then after I rise again, I'm going to Galilee. And did you know that many passages after that, Jesus says, go tell them to go Galilee, I'm going to meet them there. The Lord Jesus even made an appointment after he died. You know what that tells me? The Lord Jesus' words is always true. Always, always true. Christians, I want you to take note of this because we're going to apply that later. This was all spoken by the blessed Lord Jesus before he died, to the disciples, to the ladies. But why is it that the ladies, when they came to the tomb with the spices, could not remember what Jesus said, that I will rise again? You know why? Because sometimes and many times the crisis in your life and my life block out what God wants to do in our life. And all the promises of God about his resurrection was there. But the ladies didn't get it. But even when you don't believe, God is still faithful to his words. Amen? Jesus still rose from the dead according to what God says. I don't know about you, but that's a strong encouragement. But Brother Johnny, you know, the Lord told us, but why is it that sometimes I really don't have faith? Can I give you a formula for faith? As I look around, I believe many people come here, they listen. You're going to go out the door the same way you came in. You know why? Because your life is based on your belief system. Listen, your life is based on your belief system. And I believe the Lord Jesus Christ, through the resurrection, is trying to teach us what it means to have a God's worldview, a view that God, how God sees things. And that is so important. We all need hope. We all need hope. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13 says, "Now there abideth faith, hope, and charity. These are the three essential elements of every man's life." Faith, hope, and charity. Where you get your hope, where you get your faith, where you get your charity must be determined by you. But God made it clear that these are the three things in biblical Christianity that all Christians need to have. Faith, hope, and charity. Hope is there, 1 Corinthians 13. But you know what? Your hope is based on your faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance. Okay, children, I want you to draw this diagram too. Faith is the substance. The word substance means a foundation, okay? Something that you hold on. Faith is a substance of things you hope for, the evidence of things that you cannot see. Your hope is based on your belief. Example, if I'm not wrong, yesterday someone told me that, oh, you mean Resurrection Sunday got buffet lunch? Huh? Someone said it. That person believed it. And he kept the hope of the buffet lunch in his heart. Okay? And then what happens? He's here today. I won't tell you who. I won't tell you who. But someone told him, that's the word of God, that they'd go to the buffet lunch, that created belief in those words and the hope that he'll get a buffet lunch that he will get, okay? The Bible says, Romans 10, 17, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Christians, do you know why you sometimes lower down in your faith? If you're honest with yourself, you're not in the word of God. But Brother Johnny, I do read Pray Grow. I do read one devotional. If you are a Christian for more than 3 years, the devotionals need to be thrown out and the Bible need to be your staple. I will be concerned that some adults here are still drinking your bottled milk. And that's why our faith don't grow. I hope this will be a permanent picture in your mind as a Christian. Your faith will grow according to how much time you will put in the word, because the Bible is very clear. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The more you have in your word, Christians, your faith will grow, and your hope in the second coming of Christ, the hope that your loved ones will be saved, the hope that God is going to take you through your tribulations will also... Why do some Christians fall apart when trials come? Because they haven't built their foundations right. They haven't built their foundations right. We need to be in the word. The ladies have heard, the apostles have heard, the so-called believers of Jesus have heard Jesus say, "I will rise again." No one believed him. That's why they were cowards. They were chickens. Even Thomas doubted. Remember, Thomas wasn't there when Jesus appeared to them? And then the apostle said, "Hey, Thomas, we have seen the Messiah," John chapter 20. And then Thomas said, "Except I see those nail prints in his hand, I'm not going to believe." You know why Thomas didn't believe that day? He missed a church service. He missed a church service. What do I mean? When all the apostles were there, the first time Jesus appeared, they were all together. Every one of the apostles was there, except Thomas. But you know how their faith was reinstated? When Thomas made sure he was there. And the second time, when Jesus came, I don't know about you, if you're a believer, I'm very encouraged by this. You know, the first person Jesus went to was Thomas. Think about that. When we have the doubts in our hearts, the Lord Jesus comes to meet them. He said, "Thomas, behold my hands and my side. Be not faithless, but believing." John chapter 20. You know what Thomas said? "Lord, I don't need your nails. My Lord and my God." You see, when you're in trouble, your friends can encourage you. Your friends can help you. But only Jesus can touch your heart and change you. And if you are here, you're not a Christian today, you may be going through trials in your heart and say, "Well, Johnny, I understand this, but I don't see how Jesus can help." There is no one who has come to Christ who have never found help. God is my refuge and strength, a very present help in times of need. Children, remember Psalm 46 and verse 1. That's the verse. God is my refuge and strength, a very present. That means, the word present means the moment you need it, he's there. The moment you need it, he's there. A very present help in times of need. You know, the ladies who went to the tomb didn't know what to do. Why? Because they did not put faith in the prophecies of Jesus that "I will rise again." I want us to understand. We need to put faith in the words of God. Listen to the scriptures. "My hope fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word." My hope is in your word. Christians, when you cannot find help anywhere, when your heart is discouraged maybe by things, maybe by even sin in your own life, and then you find that, "God, I want to get out." You know what? You need to hope in God's word. God's word will always be there for us. For the sinning Christian who wants to get out, the Bible says, Proverbs 28, verse 13, "He that covers his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesses and forsaketh it shall obtain mercy." 1 John 1, 9, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." I don't know about you, when I do wrong, it strikes me here. The only time I can have a freedom from the guilt of that sin is when I come to my Savior and say, "Lord, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that. You are right, I'm wrong, I confess that." You know what Jesus does? He washes my sin white as snow. I have a second chance. I don't know about you, I need lots of second chance. How many of you believe you need lots of second chances? Put up your hands. We need so much second chances. Because we fail daily. If you're a believer, you fail daily. If you're here, my friend, if you're not a Christian, don't think that we are holier than you. In fact, we've got more struggles because right now God is convicting us of sin. "Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word." I hope in your word. "For all the promises of God are in him, yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us." 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. The words of Jesus are true. You know, the ladies came to the tomb and the angels asked him, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead? Why are you seeking your hopes in this life and live life here when all the things here are actually dead?" How many of you who are studying so hard for your old A-level, PhD, and all that kind of thing. How many of you can bring your PhD to heaven? Put up your hand. These are all temporary. Now, children, I'm not saying you don't study. I always have to repeat this. It doesn't mean that you don't study hard. You study your best. But Brother Johnny, you know how many person here is and say, I had to work hard. I got to support my family. I got to make sure my career is fine. I got to make sure everything is sweet so that I can have a good retirement. Is it wrong to work hard? No, it's not wrong to work hard. In fact, all of us, men, we need to work hard. We need to be the best workers. But if your work is your number one priority above everything else, you've just broken Matthew 6:33. When God says to put His kingdom first above everything else, work has its place. Work is a duty, but work is never to take the place of priority with God. For the Christian, for the Christian. Why are you seeking the living among the dead? The ladies that went to the tomb have this mindset. Number one, they don't have the promises of God motivating them. You know why the ladies went? I believe this. You know why the ladies were the first one? You know why the apostles didn't go on the first time? You know, it represents one thing. The ladies were loyal people. They were loyal. They were loyal to their master. They were loyal to the master in the sense of their master didn't have a proper barrier. And for them, it's, I'm not going to see my master anymore. The least I can do is to give him a proper barrier. But what are the men? You know? But you know, when the ladies went there, in their hearts, they had no hope. All they could do is to make things better, to have a closure. Does that make sense? Many people go through life, they want a closure. They want things to close. Okay, this is a bit difficult for little ones, but basically, for the little children, when you have a spelling test and you didn't do very well, you feel very disappointed. But the teacher said, never mind, you do your corrections, I give you 0.5 point. So okay, I do the. That's called a closure. And then you close up that chapter. For adults, I think you know what I mean. Many people in life want closures, and they go to the world for closures. And then they live with that inability to close. And they carry this baggage from perhaps one thing to another thing, to another thing, to another thing. You know how you get your closures? You need to come to Christ. You need to confess that sin. You need to confess that failing. You need to, we may just say, Lord, I'm sorry. Can't do nothing. I can't do anything. Lord, I need your help. But you know what? God knows our needs. We'll move on. The last point. After the Lord Jesus Christ have told them, or rather the angels told them, go to Jerusalem and tell them, in Luke chapter 24, go to Galilee. 24 verse 9, I'll be finishing soon. In Luke chapter 24 and verse 9, the Bible says, and they returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. Basically, the ladies say, hey guys, guess what? We didn't find the body. There were two men that was there and say, you go back and tell them Jesus is risen from the dead. And with that, I'm not too sure. The Bible did say in other passages that they were filled with joy. They were filled with trembling and joy. They didn't know what to believe, but they know that their body was not there. Someone has told them their Savior is alive, and they were just running and they were excited. And Peter, James, and John, guys, our Savior is alive. He's alive. Christian, do you know you serve a living Savior? Oh, I know I serve a living Savior. But all these problems, you know. You serve a living Savior. Do you realize how powerful the Lord Jesus Christ is if He can conquer death? Can't He deal with the problems in your life? Many Christians will trust Jesus Christ with their eternal soul, but they cannot trust Christ because they can't pay the bills next month. And they don't remember. They forget that Singapore Power actually belongs to God because electricity, God created it. God can take care of us. God can take care of us. God can take care of us. Last point. Our responsibility, we are to tell about the resurrection. We are to tell about the resurrection. There are two ways that we tell about the resurrection. In Acts chapter 4, verse 2, after the disciples, man, when they knew Jesus was alive and they saw Jesus, and Jesus says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. You know what? They saw Jesus went up to heaven. The two angels then stood there and said, hey, why stand ye there gazing up in heaven? Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1 says, why are you standing here in heaven? This same Jesus is going to come back. All right? And so the disciples went to the upper room. They prayed. The Holy Spirit came, empowered the church. They started preaching. And many people trusted Christ. Many of them became Christians. And so the Pharisees had a big problem right now. All the people were turning away from Judaism to Christianity. In the book of Acts chapter 4 and verse 2 over there, the Bible says, being grieved, they were sad that they taught the people and preached through Jesus Christ the resurrection from the dead. He's talking about preach through Jesus Christ the resurrection from the dead. What does that mean? That simply means, number one, we have to tell about the resurrection with our lips. That's what I'm doing now. I'm telling you, Jesus rose from the dead. Christians don't serve a dead Savior. We serve a living Savior. He's alive right now in the world. He's in my heart. He's in every believer's heart. If you truly trusted Christ, He's with you 100%. Okay? And the Bible says He preached through Jesus. That means it's only through Jesus that you get the resurrection from the dead. I'm the way, the truth, and the life, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you are not a Christian today, can I encourage you to seriously consider? Because one day you're going to meet the appointment. You know, when we go for appointments in the hospital or different places, we always make sure we get all our things ready. You know, it's a sad thing, many non-believers don't get ready for this appointment. You need to get ready to the appointment. The appointment is in one person, the Lord Jesus. You need to meet Him first. You need to tell Him how sorry you are for your sin. You need to tell Him that, I understand, you are a Savior, I need to meet my death, but I'm thankful that you have washed away my sin. I receive you into my heart. For Christians, number one, you need to tell about the resurrection with your words. And number two, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. You need to tell the gospel with your lives. You need to tell the gospel with your lives. The testimony of your time in God's word, in prayer, in fasting, in putting God first in everything, is such an important example of testimony. So that someone else can see Christ and come to Jesus. Some of you, parents, your loved ones have brought you here, and you have seen the life of your loved one, how strong they were, and how God is in their lives. They're telling you that the power, see, if Jesus was raised from the dead, the power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. Do you know that, Christians? The power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in all of us as believers. And that's why the Lord Jesus Christ, when He raised from the dead, He put His spirit into the people, His believers, and then the people's testimony brought more people. This Jesus had God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. In the Ambassador Baptist Church group, someone messaged about Pope Francis, who said that there is no hell. You have a choice. You can believe Him or you can believe the Bible. The Lord Jesus Christ died. He rose again to defeat sin, death, and hell so that we can have eternal life. Christians, you and I are witnesses of the resurrection. As we close, two questions. Number one, do you believe the resurrection? If you're not a Christian today, do you believe the resurrection? You believe that the Lord Jesus Christ died for your sins according to the Bible. He was buried according to the Bible. And He rose again. Rajani, you know, I'm not so bad. Many people have said that. But you know what? The fact. You know, on Friday, I mentioned one thing. How many of you will say that you will never die? No one. You know why? You know how I know that? Because the Bible says the wages of sin is death. The fact that we will die means we are sinners. But when Jesus Christ came, He didn't discriminate between riches, status, money, economy. He said, I die for all. that whoever will put faith in what Jesus has done can have eternal life. The resurrection was given to tell us that we have hope. I'm thankful. In my family, we have 6 of us. I'm thankful they have put faith in Christ. When I die, I want to see them again. I'm thankful for my mom, who's trusted Christ as well. She's here. If she leaves or I leave first, you know, we don't have to be afraid of death. You know what death is? You know what death is? Closing and opening of eyes. I'm going to see my mom again. My brother trusted Christ, 1983. I wouldn't see him again. If you have never trusted Christ, will you ever see your loved ones again? You know, the Lord Jesus Christ died for our sin in order to give us this hope. In order to give us this hope. Christians, does your life reflect the resurrected Christ in all his holiness, in all its purity, and in all his love? Does the resurrected Christ, does our life reflect that? That when people look at us, they know, oh, you're a Christian, aren't you? Yes, I am. How do you know? You know, there was one very interesting, as I close, there was one very interesting story. I have a friend, his name is Kayu. Not Kayu, not referee Kayu. His name literally is K-A-R. Y-E-W, Kayu. Okay? He's a strange little one. No, he literally, he's about the size of Adam. Adam, can you stand up? About his size, okay? Thank you. Sit down. About his size. Okay? And he wears round glasses. He's weird, you know? And he walks weird, you know? He's like, hi, Johnny. You know, that kind. And you know, we were in a Christian setting and we were singing and people are just shaking hands. And then he would go around shaking hands and we were singing, I love you the Lord. I can see in you the glory of my King. You know what he said? Johnny, can you see the glory of our King in me? He was asking me this question. He was asking his friend who was shaking his hand, can you see the glory of Jesus in my life? Every Christian needs to be able to show the glory of our King to someone else. And I pray that God will burn this hope of the resurrection in us, that if you're not a Christian, can I ask that you make it clear today? Because God says, if you hear his voice, if there's something in your heart that says, hey, this is something I need to explore more, God is working in your hearts. The Bible says, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Let me give you a clue as to how I know God is working in your heart. If in your mind and heart right now, you are saying, I don't care, that's not God. That is yourself. But if in your heart you are saying, there's something in here I need to explore, that is the Holy Spirit. Because God will always drive you towards the Lord Jesus Christ. Christians, are you going to walk out this room the same way and say, I don't care if my life reflects the image of Christ, the resurrected Christ? You can pray for someone till your cows come home, till your lips are dry. If you do not have the image of Christ, if you dwell in sin, your loved one will never see the image of our Savior. How do I know that? 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4, and the God of this world had blinded the minds of those that they should, lest they should believe the glory of the gospel. What does that mean? You know what the devil oftentimes do? This is a non-believer, and this is a believer, and many times the believer wants the non-believer to come to Christ. But what God does, or rather this is God, sorry, this is God, and this is the non-believer. God wants to reach this non-believer, but many times the devil just puts a believer with sin, so that the image of God is blocked by sin, so this non-believer won't see it. Does that make sense? If we are in sin, Christians, won't you come out of it? Because when Jesus Christ died, he buried all our sins. When he came out, he left the sins behind in the tomb and came out free from sin. Everyone who has put faith in Christ, 100%, you're free from sin. In conclusion, we do have hope in Christ because he rose from the dead. If you are not a Christian, do you have hope? Young people, if you have never trusted Christ, if you leave this place, and I hope an e-scooter don't hit you, I'm sorry, I'm not cursing you, but you know anything can happen, would you be sure your sins are forgiven? And if you're a Christian today, won't you make right with God? Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. With all eyes closed, heads bowed. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time that we can pray. We thank you for the resurrection. We thank you, Father, that you have shown us through the resurrection of Christ the hope that we have. Lord, the ladies that went to the tomb didn't have hope. I mean, they were just going there just to do the final rites. They're just finishing. They're just having their closure. Father, I pray for one person in this room, or a few, who in their hearts know they need to close things up. Maybe things look bleak for them, whether they are Christian. Lord, we pray for Christians. Help the Christians to know the resurrection gives them the promise of a new start. Your eyes closed, heads bowed, no one looking around. Christians, are you listening? Is there something in your heart that you just say, God, I need something, I need to just go to you to help me close it? I've been trying the world, I've been trying my job, I've been trying my friends, I've been trying isolation. It's not working, Lord. And thank you that despite my unbelief and my unfaithfulness, Lord, you are still faithful. And Christians, God is always faithful. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. But you know what, God, your Savior is asking you as a Christian, would you give up that sin? Would you say, Lord, thank you. Help me. I will take a step of faith towards you, but God, help me. If God has spoken to your heart in some way, if you're a Christian, would you put up your hand? I just want to pray for you. Amen. I see that hand. Just put it down and pray, brother. Everyone else, just put up your right hand. I'll pray for you. Amen. I see that hand. That hand too. I'll be praying for you. I can't do anything, but my Savior can. Is there someone else? If you're a Christian, and say, Lord, help me. Is there someone else? Amen. I see that hand too. Is there someone else? All right. Father, I pray firstly for the Christians. I ask you, Lord, as they make their decisions with you, Father, you will strengthen them. Help them to very crystal clear the next step they need to take. Help them to put faith in the resurrection of Christ, because it is through the resurrection that we have all power, Lord. And the Holy Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead lives in us today. Therefore, we have all power or wisdom, but we need to avail ourselves. We need to yield and submit. Lord, I pray for our brothers and sisters who have put up their hand. Lord, help them overcome, please. And I know you will, Lord, as they put their faith in your word. Your eyes closed, heads bowed. Just ask one more question. If you are here today, you are not a Christian. You're not a Christian. And you say, Pastor, I understand, but I need to find out more. Or maybe God has touched your heart and said, I understand, I want to be a Christian. If Jesus loved me so much and died for me, and then on the third day rose again to give me new life, and I've seen the examples of the people around me, I want this Jesus in my life. Is there someone like that? If you're not a Christian, I won't embarrass you. I just want to know you, pray for you, and get someone to share with you the good news. Is there someone like that? Just put up your right hand and I'll pray for you. Is there someone like that? Age doesn't matter. The Lord Jesus Christ loves you the same. Is there someone? All right, let's pray. Lord, I commit. I don't rush this, Lord, but I pray that your Holy Spirit will take the word of God and encourage every Christian to walk with you. I pray, Father, that those people who have put up their hands, from today onwards, Lord, they will learn step by step to walk with you, to build their lives on the word, to build their lives as a result, to have faith and then to have the hope of eternal life. Father, I thank you for what you're going to do in this Christian's life, and I look forward to the victory in their lives. I pray also for someone who is not a Christian. Father, the person will have an appointment with you, Lord, one of these days. Father, I've tried to share with them what you did in their lives on the cross. Lord, there's no way anyone can change anyone's heart except you. So, Father, thank you for what you are going to do. Because you promised in the book of Isaiah, Lord, that your word will not come back to you void. Lord, thank you for what you're going to do. Lord, as we sing the closing hymn, reflecting, Father, our hope, I pray you encourage us. We thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.